There's a scripture that I want to share with you. You know, we've been talking about legacy and the kingdom of God, leaving a kingdom legacy. And there's a passage in the book of Psalm 145 and 4. And I think it's appropriate for this particular day, especially from the standpoint of this being Youth Sunday or Next Generation Sunday. And it is simply this: let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. So if you would grasp this, it's a picture of the psalmist pouring out his heart to God, saying, let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts, and let them proclaim, it's not by power nor by might, but it's by your spirit, God. Let them proclaim that. I want to take for a subject today, passing it on. Just say that with me, passing it on. As we pray, Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for all that you've done, and thank you for what you are doing in the name of Jesus. Have your way today. Someone came to receive from you. And Father, my prayer is that your will be done in every heart today. That is our desire, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And if God has been really, really good to you, why don't you give him your best praise right now? I mean, your best praise. Hallelujah. We love you, God. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We absolutely do. So can I just start by letting you know that, you know, when I think of this day and this time and thinking about actually the message that God wanted me to share with you today, I just wanted to start off by one of my testimonies and even a quote that leads to a testimony. 100 years from now, think about it. It won't matter what kind of car I drove or what kind of house I lived in, how much money I had in the bank, nor what my clothes look like. But the world may be a little different because I made a difference in the life of a child. This quote became even more heartfelt when last week I celebrated the 100 year anniversary of a church that I attended when I was a youth. I realized that child was me. They made a difference in my life, and now it's our time to make a difference in someone else's life. Can I get a good amen in the house? And that brings me to my first point. We are only successful as the next generation that we prepare for success. And let me say that one more time. I saw some people saying, what did you say? Let me say it again. We are only as successful as the next generation that we prepare for success. Say older generation, I want to hear you say it. We're only as successful as the next generation that we prepare for success. The reason that's important is because, you know, we live our life and we say, well, I've done my part. Can I let you know that your part is connected with someone else's part? Your part is not just, I did this and I'm done. Absolutely not. United States Olympic team, I like seeing the men's relay, the men's 4x100, and man, they're super fast. I mean, super fast. And the trouble they had this year was passing of the baton. You know, as fast as they are, as fast as they could run, if you don't know how to pass the baton, you're not going to win the race. Are y'all with me today? You know, you can be as fast as you want to be, but if you don't pass the baton correctly to the next person, you all lose. And everybody can be pointing at me, well, you did it, and you did it, and you did it. I remember when Marcia and I, this is not in my notes, but I'm moving on. Marcia invited me to one of her, she was high school, so you know, it was at least a couple years ago, and she invited me to one of her track meets. And she says, you know, Pops, I really want you to come. You know, we got a good track team. She ran right to Southeast, and we would make it our business to go up there and watch them run. And I'm not sure if you've ever seen, you know, people run a track meet, but, you know, it's all type of stuff happening and people around. And it was several girls, and girls are, that's a whole message. But she said, you know, Pops, I want you to come see me run. We've got a good team. And for whatever reason, that particular day, they were having a moment. I just put it like that because, you know, I was like, because they didn't pass the baton well and they didn't win that particular heat. And I remember them sitting down and, I'm talking about attitudes and, I mean, it was neck rolling, and it was you didn't do this and that, and Mr. McBride came. He said, "Hey, Pastor, chill, because you know they're gonna be okay. They're gonna be okay." So, because he always protecting his girls, they ended up winning state that year, but they had to get the baton passed together. I mean, I get that part right. Are you with me today? How many know that we need to get that right if we mess up a whole lot of the stuff? We cannot mess up passing it on. Are you with me today? That's why the writer of Psalms, that's why he says, a psalmist, he says, you know, one generation needs to tell the next generation about the mighty acts of God. I've got a Jewish friend, and he invited Jita and I to his house. It was Passover time, so, and he says, I want you to experience a Seder. I'd never been to a Seder before, and it was interesting because it's a ceremonial dinner that the Jews celebrate and commemorate where God has brought them. So before the actual Seder meal, they actually gave a message talking about we were 400 years in bondage, and God raised up a man called Moses, And Moses, God used him to go to Pharaoh that we might be free. And then when we left, you know, and the other Gentiles or those that were not connected in covenant, you know, their firstborn died, but ours didn't. Why? Because we placed blood over the doorpost. And even today, we still give God glory. So every year they sit down and talk. Now, to be truthful, there are three religious holidays or Jewish holidays that the men would go back to Jerusalem to celebrate, and one of them is Passover. That goes on and on. Now, can I share with you that my dad, they take us through a pilgrimage as well. You say, well, you're not Jewish, Jerry Wayne. No, I'm not. I'm not Jewish. But my dad takes us through a pilgrimage. What does that pilgrimage look like? Well, he takes us down south. Any of you all got some folks, old folks, I'm going to say old, parents, grandfathers, mature people, that they take you down south? I see a couple hands. And when they take you down south, they say, boy, this is where I used to live. You see that shack over there? That's where you were born. You weren't born in a hospital. You see that field over there, boy? That's where we used to pick cotton on that plantation. And then they go back and they get into this, Lord, I thank you moment. And they can be in a car and hands start going up. And say, but God brought us from a mighty long way. He took us from this cotton field and placed us in a place where we could grow and develop, and now we have more than one house. God is good to us. We've got a brand new car, and God has given us you nine kids. God has been good to us, and I don't ever want you to forget where you came from. Boy, I think I'll always be a boy to them. We too, folks, have a pilgrimage. What does that look like, Pastor? I'm glad you asked, because to my left, to your right, is kind of just, if you will, a picture of where we came from. The people that you see today, some of them were with us 28 years ago, but we started in our house, humble, very humble beginning. You know, and I remember when God was working with us then and God began to open doors, and may I never forget where we've come from, because we too have a pilgrimage that we need to pass on. And if we in here come in looking so good, so pressed, so neat, and never let anybody know that God picked us up before anybody knew our name, that God graced you, not because anything you did, but it was God's unmerited favor. It was God's anointing upon human flesh to cause what he wanted to happen to take place in the earth. Are you with me today? That's why I can never get up and act sadiddy. Some people can, but man, God's been too good to me. He's opened too many doors. He's picked me up when I was messed up. And if other people would recognize how far he's brought us. When I look among the crowd, the congregation, you haven't always been where you are. We need to remember where he's brought us, and not only remember it, but pass it down to the next generation. Somebody give God a praise in this house. I mean, let's bless him real big. And some of us, he's brought a long way. I ain't gonna look around and I'm certainly not gonna point any fingers, but some of y'all was just messed up for real, for real. But look at God, look what he's done. Look how he's opened doors. Look how he's made ways. And we give you glory, we give you praise, God. I couldn't always put two sentences together well. Was afraid to stand before a congregation. Remember the first time I spoke, and remember the nerves that were coming into play, and how God brought me through it. And when I was done that day, Father, thank you for this day. And maybe I can get ready by next week. But now I don't even think about it. It's like, hey, we just, God, just do what you do because you are God. When I look at where he's brought us from, it just makes me say thank you. And every place, if you're like me and you look in your house and you look what God has done in your life, you think about the fact that everything that you've done or everything that you've accomplished, it's always been a God has been involved.
Yeah.
Every degree you've got. Every house that you've moved into. Somebody, I wish I had a praying church. The relationship, your child, your parents, there's always a God has been involved in every situation. It just makes me say, Lord, I thank you. But and we need to pass it on to the next generation, because they'll think you did it all by yourself, but you didn't. You didn't do it by yourself. This transition was going to take place in the book of Joshua. It was at the end of Moses's time of leading, and it starts off Joshua 1. It says, you know, now Moses is dead. Joshua, my servant Moses, is dead. Now it's your turn to raise up. You know, it's your time, boy. You know, he didn't say boy. You've been receiving all this training. Now it's your time. And then God talks to Joshua, and he says this. He says, Joshua, just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Everywhere your foot treads upon, from this Euphrates, and he went on to tell him, you know, look as far as you can see, I'm going to be with you. It's yours. You claim it. Just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Amen. Then he says this. He says in the seventh verse, and he says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave you. He says, now check this out. We have to instruct our children. It's getting quiet, and I ain't telling nobody. Let them live their own life. Children need direction. Children need instruction. This is a part that I need to take some time on, but I won't today, but, you know, remind me later on, and I will. Here's the issue is that how can you blame someone for not knowing something that they've never been taught? Are y'all with me? How can you blame someone for, you know, not doing certain things? It seems like they should know that. Well, how would they know except somebody instruct them? Man, thank you, Jesus. Be careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave to you. He says, don't deviate from them. Don't turn either to the right or to the left. He says, look what he says. Then you will be successful in everything that you do. Then the eighth verse says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt meditate. I mean, in your mind of what God has done, who he is, day and night, that thou may have observed to do all that is written therein. And it says, for then thou shalt make thy way, and this is King James Version, prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? So there is more than one type of success. There's good success, and there's some success that's not good. Thank you, Jesus. You know, you may have been successful at selling drugs, but that's not good success. Moving right along. Proverbs 13:3 says this, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. So he's saying that why do your plans succeed? Because your plans become his plans. That's what the kingdom message is all about. You're king, God. You're the king of kings. And all I want to do is your will. This is your rule, your reign, your authority. I operate based upon what you want me to do. Are you with me today? I think about our country, and I'm praying for this generation because I believe this generation is going to make a difference. Because I remember 1993, when we started, that the national debt was $4 trillion. That's a lot of money, right? Can I let you know now it's $28 trillion? And soon, with the swipe of the pen, they say that they want to do an infrastructure bill. In fact, the House is already passed it. It's $3.5 trillion infrastructure. But can I let you know that's not going to fix America's problems? Our system must change. And some say democracy and democracy works. And others say, you know, we need a monarchy. And can I let you know monarchy, democracy, Republican, Democrat, you know, that stuff is not going to fix the problem. I should get a good amen in this house if you're telling the truth about it. Only a theocracy. Well, what is a theocracy? A theocracy is a God rule, theos, meaning God, order of government. That's what we really need, because the difference between a president and a king, the president, of course, he has to campaign and then he runs for office and he has to ask people for vote. But a king, you know, he didn't run for office. He was placed in office because of his royal bloodline. So therefore, you didn't vote the king in and you can't vote him out. He doesn't need a majority to pass a bill. You know, the king makes a decree and declares, and the thing is done. How many of you all know we serve a king and we live in a kingdom? And they can vote all they want to, but at the end of the day, the king will make the declaration. The king will make the proclamation. Let's give God glory, our king. Legacy is passing on to others what God has given to us. Say it with me. Legacy is passing on to others what God has given to us. And they need to make that G, big capital G. I'm not talking little G God. Yeah, I'm just want them for the future. Hallelujah. So, Pastor, why is it important for us to talk about legacy? Well, God has given us some wonderful things, and we need to pass that what he's given us on to other people. Here's a scripture that I look to, and I love the scripture, and this is 1 Peter 4:10. It says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Use them well to serve one another. When I think about legacy and passing things on, it reminds me of another story you knew it would. When we look on the side, we see about halfway up. Do I see the Haven House on that drawing? My eyes tell me high, low, down, hot, warm, cold. Okay. That's the Haven Apartments. Okay, so let me share. So we're going to do a whole nother one on this side, but it's going to be where we're going and who we're connected with. Check this out. But we started the Haven House, and this is passing this information on to those that don't know, because one generation needs to declare to the next generation God's glory, because they'll pass by and not appreciate it. The fact is that, you know, we'd been to church and they would say, well, someone would say, well, I've been in a domestic dispute. And they said, well, we're going to pray with you. And we were no different, because we didn't have a place for them. That's why I'm glad, thank God, for the James Project. And they said, well, you know, we're gonna pray for you. So we prayed for them over and over again, and they would still become abused. And finally, the abuser killed the wife. And God placed in my heart, he says, no longer can you just talk about praying for somebody. The church has to rise up and be the church, not just on Sunday, but all during the week. So God had someone call me, and I said, hey, well, we need a building, and this is what we want to do. And we took the building back there, which is just a farmhouse at the time. We said, we're going to make this a Haven House, so when women get in a domestic situation, they don't have to just say somebody's going to pray for me. That's good. But then you need to put faith with works. And then we built the facility, and women began to have a place that they could come and be safe. Somebody give God glory, because it's not just enough to say, I'll pray for you. Not long ago, a woman came. She was looking at me, and you know, and I could tell she was looking at me, and I you know, try not to look back. And she was gorgeous, lying. She was beautiful. And then she looked at me again, and I'm thinking, like, you know, one of them days you say, well, I know I look good, but not some days. You know, some days you look all right. You know, y'all don't like me. I'm just not every day, but some days, just okay, God, yeah. And then she came closer toward me. I said, oh, this is not good. And then she asked the question. She says, do you remember me? I'm thinking, like, no. Should I? And she says, about 15 or 16 years ago, she says, my mom was in a battered situation. She was abused. And my little sister and I were tremendously afraid. The police came. They said we had to leave, and we didn't know where we were going to go. She said that I still remember that night. And I got to still maintain composure while I even tell the story. But she said that we were frightened. You know, my mom was frightened. My little sister was frightened. And she said that we didn't know where we were going to go, because we didn't want to leave our mom, but we needed a place. And somebody told them about the Haven House. And they said, if you could just make that call. Well, they called, and we just happened to have room. And then she said, I made up in my mind that night while I was in a warm bed in a place of safety. When I get older, I'm going to give my life to helping other children and families that were abused. So I said, well, what do you do for a living? She says, I've dedicated my life to helping other families, to helping women, to helping children. And I have other people working for me. I'm married. I have children, but God is good. I give him praise. I give him glory. Every one of those places that God has opened up, there's a story of God working on our behalf for his glory. Are you with me today? Somebody give him a real good praise in this house. Let me ask this question. Are you passing on to others what God has given you? That was a question you can just answer within yourself, but I'm glad to hear that though. Hallelujah. Give God praise. Just I'm glad that she's passing it on. And some say, well, Pastor, what can I give? You can give life experiences. You can share your life experiences, because some of you all have been through some stuff. And you say, well, I'm not very open. I don't care how old you are. You know, if you know God, you've been through something. You can share your life challenges. I've been through some things, you know, and you can also, you know, share God's faithfulness in every one of the situations, because he always brings you out. Thank you, God. You can share a word of encouragement. You can share your testimony. You can share your love. You can share your time. You know, some would ask the question, well, how do I start? And can I just let you know that you can start by simply giving God a yes? You know, it all starts with a yes. You know, how do we get to where we are, and how are we going to get to where we're going? It's a yes. It's a yes. And I think of, you say, what is he going to do with that? Well, just get your attention first. In the book of Kings, talks about a man, a prophet. His name was Elijah. And Elijah did many great things and miracles. And he was a voice, a mouthpiece of God. And he was bold. And when all the other prophets were running and hiding because Jezebel, the queen of wicked Ahab, wanted to take these prophets' life. And I remember the story so vividly because he's so bold. He tells, okay, if he's looking for me, says, have him and his prophets meet me at this place called Mount Carmel. Meet me there. You know, they bad, and let's just have it out. And when I read that passage and I recognize that God was going to use him in an amazing way, and he says, you've got 850 prophets of Baal. Jezebel has caused you. And this is Israel. This is God's chosen people. This is the northern kingdom, but it's still Israel. And he says that God is God, and you need to lay down these idols of doing everything else and place God in his proper perspective, his priority. He's a priority. Are you with me today? That's why today he still says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and other stuff is going to be added. So they meet, and first I love this about him. He says, in fact, Ahab, there will be no more water until I say so. 3 years, no water, not a drip of dew on the ground. Man, this guy is bold. He meets 850 prophets, and Ahab is there. Jezebel is still at the kingdom. And he says, you know what? Let's have the contest, and whoever's God is God. We'll serve that God. If Baal wins, then I'll serve Baal. And if he is the God, true God, then you all serve him. So let's have this contest. So I love this passage, because the Bible says he says, let's build an altar. And whoever's God swoops down fire and and consumes the offering. That's the God we're going to serve. They dug holes, and then they placed their offering on the altar. And I love this part. He says, I'm going to let you go first. See, you know, since it's just me and 800 of you all, y'all ought to be able to do something. Man, they started praying to their God, shouting loud and begging their God. Hours went by, still begging, shouting, pleading. They said, and then I like Elijah. He said, hey, y'all need to talk louder. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he had to use the bathroom. Man, this boy is bad. And can I let you know, you can be tough too when you know God and you're standing firmly on what he says in his word. You don't have to back down and run. Says you've tried over and over again. Then he says, now it's my turn. Well, nothing has happened. Well, he says, first of all, y'all dig the hole deeper and pour some more water on it. Bring four more barrels, dump it on there. They dump the water. Bring some more water. They said, is this man crazy? Bring some more. Can I let you know, God has not won the battles in our life because of logic, but because of his power, his anointing, his authority. He rules, he reigns, he has dominion over every situation. After they filled it up, he began to pray. He said, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he said, Lord, let the people know. And folks, I'm not sure if you're like me today, but I feel like that same prayer. God, the world needs to know that you're God. Not everybody else, not all this other stuff, and not all this psychobabble talk, but God, you are God. The Bible says that heaven opened up, fire came down and swooped up the sacrifice, and then he killed all the 850 prophets. Jezebel was furious. Y'all still with me? He told Ahab, he says, go home, talk to Jezebel, but let her know change has to take place. And plus, you better hurry up because there's going to be an abundance of rain. So it doesn't look like it. Look again. Send somebody else. Let them look again. Went out again. Let them. And finally came back and says, there's a cloud about the size of a man's hand. Said, get ready because there's going to be an abundance of rain. Can I let you know, folks, I believe right now that there's going to be an abundance of rain. Y'all get ready. Let me see. Just want to grab. Stefan, come here. So he says, I know y'all saying, Pastor, you went a little long. I can tell by the look on somebody's face, but I ain't gonna say no, bust nobody out. Take that mask off, son, just for a minute. I won't get in your face. So Elijah becomes fearful and goes to the cave to hide and takes his eyes off of God, places his eyes on a woman that promises to kill him. He becomes depressed, sits under a tree, a juniper tree, and depression comes upon him. And he says, you know, I might as well die because I'm the only one. And I know sometimes we feel like that. And then the Bible says God sends an angel to fix him some angel food cake. It's a scripture, read it for yourself. Then he gets up and goes further, but then God tells him something. He says, I want you to appoint your replacement, it's passing it on. Elisha, he puts a cloak on him. Then Elisha says, wait a minute. I got to go talk to my parents and tell them I'm going. I want to go, but I got to. It's okay. He goes and tells Jay and all the rest of them, God has called me. I got to go. And then finally, when Elijah's almost ready to go, he says, what can I give you? He says, I don't want a house, don't want a car. I just want to do your will, God. And I can't do it unless I have all that you need me to do. I need some anointing. I'm going to be facing some challenges. And he looks at him and says, man, you've asked me, what do you want? He says, you know what? Give me a double portion. Can I tell you, my friends in the audience, you're going to need a double portion for what you all are going to be dealing with the coming generation. Y'all ain't seen nothing yet. Some of y'all going to need a double portion because y'all, you think we face something now? You ain't seen nothing yet. So he says, you've asked a hard thing, but guess what? If you see me ascend on my chariot, I'll grant your request. Now, he's getting ready to go, and man, dude is following close. There's a Jordan River. They're getting ready to cross, and Elijah smites the water. Jordan stands back. Say, come on, dude, let's. Man, can you imagine walking with somebody with that kind of power? And then you're going to get a double portion? Hey. And then all of a sudden, the chariot, horse, fire comes, and Elijah knows that he's going to be caught up. But on his way up, stand on